Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the mighty God. Praise the name of the mighty God. Praise the name of the mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I got a call this morning. I'd like to share with you regarding Sister Grant. There's been a lot of rumors floating around that she had a brain aneurysm and this, that, and the other thing. But unfortunately, it's not really good news, but Brother Grant called and left a message to let me know, and the congregation know, that she has water around her heart, typically called congestive heart failure, but that's a generic term. She does have an enlarged aorta. They're concerned about that, so they are very cautious, and we need to really make an effort this week. I would like to do is... I think we need to start a prayer chain for Sister Grant. I would like to see a 24-hour prayer chain. We'll have something for you to sign up. But, you know, really, we shouldn't need to have to sign up for something this important. As you all know, God has been doing some amazing things here at Calvary Gospel Church. And it's unlikely that the devil is not going to come after our leadership. And Brother Grant is sick this morning on top of that. So she's very weak, and she needs our prayer. But I know a God that's able to heal that body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just had a brother come up to me before service. I want you to step up here a second, brother. And, you know, sometimes we forget these little things that happen during our service. I just wanted to give a very brief
what happened. I had acid reflux, and I came up here two Sundays ago. And I was healed from it. I tore my knee last week. Amen. I tore my knee last week, and I came up here and got prayed over, and I'm healed from that. My back was hurting. I'm healed from that. God is able to do all things. Faith is the key. It takes faith. So I just want to thank Calvary and all the members of Calvary. It's just a blessing.
Hallelujah. We could actually stand up here all day and talk to you about the miraculous healing, deliverances, and so on. But we want to go together as a corporate body for Sister Grant. And let us go right now and believe God for a total, total healing in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come together here in one mind and one accord. As you raised up Peter, Lord God, out of a jail cell, I'm asking right now that the miraculous healing power of the living God would rest upon our senior pastor lady, Lord. I pray that the First Lady of Calvary Gospel Church be surrounded by the angels of the Almighty God, that they would lift her up, Lord. I speak to her heart that it go back to its normal size. I speak to the aorta, Lord, and I command it to be normal in the name of Jesus. I speak to the fluid in her lungs, Lord, and I command that it leave by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we are going to continue to believe and pray and lift up our pastor's wife in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. So do be in prayer for Sister Grant this coming week, and we're going to stay in prayer for Sister Grant until we see her walk into this building by the power of the Holy Ghost. I think sometimes we pray and we don't see immediate results, so we somewhat have a tendency to lay off a little bit or to somehow not give it our best effort. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we want to have the Almighty God touch our pastor's wife in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you today, you can stand. We are going to turn to the book of Psalms. God has been speaking to me lately about the blood. And sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we can get so caught up in church and so caught up in what we're doing and what we do that we sometimes forget the power and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So Psalms 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
then turning to Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. And whosoever eateth shall be cut off. You may be seated." I think particularly new people coming in, they look at the new birth experience and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and are baptized in Jesus' name, but they don't have a real understanding of the power and the position that the blood of Jesus Christ plays in the salvation process. And without the blood, it would not happen. It would absolutely not happen. So for us to somehow get an understanding, help some of the new folks here, I want to just talk to you just a few minutes about the DNA process. I don't know that all of you have heard about DNA, but it's a science, a new science actually, that's come out in the last 25 years. We're just beginning to see how fearfully and wonderfully we really are made. There's over 6 billion genes, they call them, that make up the human body. 99% of those are the same in all human beings. There are things that we're learning today that we didn't understand before. There are things about this fearfully and wonderful body of ours that our scientists are just now beginning to understand. This DNA, so-called evidence, has freed many people over the years because it was able to put them in different locations when they thought they were the ones that had committed the crime. But the DNA is basically a blueprint of who you are. In that DNA code, there are things that can be carried over for generations. You probably are aware of the fact that the Bible tells us that the sins of the fathers are passed on to future generations. So I'm believing today that the God of heaven and earth would open up our hearts and our minds to understand the power of this blood to change our DNA into GNA. Praise God. GNA is God's nature applied. DNA is the devil's nature. Hallelujah. With me? I'm making these words up, but it's the truth. Praise God. You know, we're born into this world, the Bible tells us, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And before we even have an opportunity to make a choice, we're condemned. We're going to get into that a little bit later. In the beginning, Genesis 2:7, the God of creation, I believe, put his perfect DNA. And in fact, he added into that the GNA, and that equaled salvation. Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, this is my personal opinion. You may not agree with this, but I believe that the breath, when he breathed into Adam's lifeless hunk of clay, I believe that that something that he put into Adam was blood. Because the Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So I believe when God breathed into Adam, he breathed in his DNA, his God nature into that lifeless body. And the Adam's body was of the ground, we understand that. But his blood, I believe, was a separate gift of God. Hallelujah. And we are now eligible to be restored by that separate gift of God, the blood of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But it takes perfection. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that God made man in his likeness and his image. We don't have a lot of scripture that tells us exactly what Adam was doing with his time with God. Genesis 2:15, the Bible tells us that the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it up and keep it. So we know that he had some gardening skills. Hallelujah. But what else did he do? The Bible tells us in Genesis 2:16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. And this is the only commandment that I can find that he was not allowed to eat of this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But so, life in the garden, the Bible says in Genesis 2:19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Now, do you have any idea how many living creatures are on this planet? And God formed them, and then he ran over and he says, oh boy, I want to see what Adam's going to call this. Just like a father with a son trying to see what his reaction is going to be and how he's going to respond to this and what he's going to call them. God wanted to see what he was going to call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So Adam had some pretty strong intellect. He had the power to be able to name all of these beasts. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet. Now, this perfect DNA that was put into our distant father was not very long lived, and I think we all know this story. Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw the tree was good, that it was pleasant for the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and thereof did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. So it's important to understand just what happened to this perfect God nature that was put into us. What stopped it from being what it was? We don't know what the tree actually was. We have a lot of speculation. Some people say apple and so on and so forth. But one thing we do know, that this fruit that they ate caused blood poisoning. It poisoned the perfect blood that was in Adam's veins and entered into those by this transformation of sin, got into man's blood system and resulted in death. For God said, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt die. Praise God. Now, we know that that was a spiritual death, but ultimately, Adam died also a physical death. And since life is in the blood, when man died spiritually, something happened to that blood. Sin affected the blood of man. So, we have a lot of new people here, and sometimes you can bypass the blood. You may not have studied the blood. You may not understand the blood. You may be here today and think because you've been to a church for most of your life that you do not need to really know or understand the blood because you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. But I need to tell you today that we need to understand that without the blood, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing to offer God because it is the blood that makes an atonement for our soul. There's a scripture in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts that relates to all men everywhere. And I want to turn to Acts 17:26. And I'm trying to do is paint you a little picture here just so you can understand the enormous effect that one man's sin had upon this human race. The Bible says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So there's one thing in the human race that connects all humanity. Every one of us can trace our bloodline back to our father Abraham, because there's only one blood. And this sin was so potent, this poison, that over 6,000 years, all those who have been born and related to Adam by the blood succumbed to the same poison of sin. Everybody said amen. Praise God. So, in our present state, when we are born, we have what's called DNA, and I'm going to call that, for sake of this message, the devil's nature. It's just there. You don't have to build it up. It's just there. We have a propensity to sin. We have a something in our nature that causes us to go backwards and not forwards. Praise God. So it is the blood that makes an atonement for our soul. Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Praise God. So no matter how good you become or no matter how your life is led, I don't care if you were Mother Teresa in Calcutta or you were Mr. Gandhi in India and you led a life that was above reproach, that sacrificed time and effort and did all these things for humanity. It does not mean one thing in regards to your eternal destination. It has nothing to do with our works. The Bible says that our personal works, whatever the best thing you can do for God, if you have not passed through that blood, would be as filthy rags in the sight of God. One man, Jesus Christ, gave all of his sinless blood on the cross of Calvary. You know, we have blood banks here in our community, and they add these chemicals to these bloods, and they can extend the blood for an extended period of time. But I want you to know this morning, there is a blood bank in heaven. Every single drop of the precious heavenly blood of Jesus Christ has been preserved. It's in the blood bank in heaven. And every single human being that is born onto this planet has the right and the privilege to enter into this covenant relationship by the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. You have to go that route. Every single drop of sinless blood is still alive. It's incorruptible. It's spiritual. Praise God. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things. You know that blood supply that the Red Cross has. If they don't put the right chemicals in it, it will spoil. It will become rotten. It will be unusable. But not the blood of Jesus Christ. For silver, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish and without spot. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. The more I read about this, the more God began to deal with me. I think sometimes that the very basic fundamental principles of this gospel of Jesus Christ, it starts with sacrifice. It starts with the shedding of innocent blood. We have no part in this. We enter into it. Hallelujah. And people come and go sometimes like it's a revolving door, that they take the blood of none effect. They don't understand what price was paid. But if you're here this morning, I want you to know that there is a transfusion available this morning. There is an opportunity for you to get that same untainted blood that Adam had in the day of creation to flow in your veins. Unfortunately, we still have to battle sin. We still have to battle a devil who wants to destroy our lives. But without that blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life, we have absolutely no hope in this world or in the world of come. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Ezekiel made the statement, hallelujah, in Ezekiel 36:26. I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself, but the Bible says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." You know, if you're going to go up to the UW hospital and get a new heart, I can assure you, you're going to get new blood too. You're going to get a lot of blood. "And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgment." Praise God. Hallelujah. As the first man, Adam's sin corrupted the blood of the entire human family. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the billions and billions of people on this planet of all various shapes, forms, colors, denominations all over the planet? Every one of them can trace their DNA back to the Garden of Eden and to their to Adam. You know, for it is the life of all flesh, it says in Leviticus, the life of all flesh is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You must have this heavenly transfusion. You must receive the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I urge you today to consider your spiritual condition. It doesn't make any difference how many Sunday school classes you've attended. It doesn't make any difference about those things. You must be washed by the blood of the Lamb. We have only two things to fight the devil with. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have to have both of those. The life of the flesh is in the blood. David in Psalms 51 and 5 gave us a picture of his perception on humanity. He understood that, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Listen, friends, no matter what your pedigree is, you still are born into this sinful nature, this devil nature that lies resident in our system. It's part of our genetic makeup. Somehow this blood was poisoned, and regardless of what you think about your relationship with Jesus Christ, I urge you today, are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you ready to meet the conditions that God has laid out for the eternal life? And to think about the fact that you don't have to do anything. You can't do anything. And I think that's the reason so many folks get sort of upset about it, because they think that somehow, because of the life that they're leading, or somehow because of their background or whatever, it has nothing to do with it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The same God who breathed life into Adam came down from heaven to breathe life back into the lifeless body of believers in this world. It's just that simple. Praise God. Paul, in his writing to the church at Corinth, explains pretty much my condition and your condition before we come to the knowledge of the blood of Jesus Christ. Knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here's where we come in. And such were some of you. I say, and such were some of you. But you are washed. What are you washed with? You are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you are sanctified. You are justified. Justified means just as if you've never sinned before. What a beautiful plan God has through His blood. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, Calvary Gospel Church, my friend, if you're here today and you look around, you might see a lot of folks here that look very prim and proper. But I can assure you this, if you would sit and talk to them, you'd find that there are drug addicts that have been touched by the blood. There are drunkards who no longer drink, because the moment the blood of Jesus Christ touched their soul, this was eliminated. This power that Satan had, that he took in the garden, is no longer available. Praise God. I am here today because the God of this world had blinded mine eyes. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Satan uses so many tactics to get people and keep people away from the fact that everybody needs to walk under that cross. Everybody needs to have that blood applied to their life. You cannot escape it. Your tradition, your religion, those things that you may have been brought up in will not get you into eternity. You must be born again. I said, you must be born again. There was a time when my ears could not hear that message. There was a time when my eyes could read that scripture and it would not mean anything to me. But then one day the blood of Jesus Christ touched me. I'll tell you what happened then. The blinders were taken off. This pulsating power of God's Holy Spirit came in and delivered me from the power that was put in my soul by my great-great-grandfather Adam to destroy me. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has given us this wonderful opportunity to be delivered from the power of this world. The God of this world, my friend, has no power over the blood of Jesus Christ. He is determined to keep people away from it. He's determined. People don't even talk about it in a lot of mainline churches anymore. It's kind of too gruesome for them. But this book here that we call the Bible is a bloody book. From cover to cover, my friend, it's all about the blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. God went again and again and again to try to explain and show all of these examples of animal sacrifices. We see this epic conflict between God and Satan. And Satan would attempt to kill all of the descendants of God. He knew that there was going to be a Savior someday, so he killed all the two-year-olds and under in Egypt. And we see all kinds of, we see God retaliating and taking all the firstborn of Egypt. There's just battle after battle after battle. But see, Satan can't win. I say Satan can't win. You look around your world today, and you see this huge amount of things happening. It's almost, Brother Gemeinder, when we were first in here some 30 years ago, We talked about these signs. We talked about these things, and we often wondered if we were going to be part of that generation that when we see, we've never, no generation has ever experienced what we are presently experiencing. There are more things going on prophetically than ever before. This is a time to embrace the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a time for you and I to run to the altar, to allow the Spirit of God. The Bible says that even after we receive the Holy Spirit and are baptized in Jesus' name, if we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, God will heal our land. He'll heal your soul. He'll heal those things in your spirit. Listen, God's not in the condemning business. He's in the saving business. Hallelujah. If we confess our sin, the Bible says, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So the day that you went down in Jesus' name, the day that that blood was applied to your life, that same blood is still applied on your life. You just have to go to Him and ask Him to forgive you. And once again, you're clean, you're fresh, you're free. And whom the Son has set free, you shall be free again. Some of you have been deceived to think that you're not worthy. Some of you think that because of your lifestyle or things that are going on in your life and that you've failed God, that's a lie of the devil. Listen to me. God has given you this wonderful promise. He's not looking at what you've done. He's looking about what you can become, what you can do. Hallelujah. You've got a great life ahead of you if you allow God to do what He said He would do. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I prayed God give us 10 souls today. Not because I'm here. 10 people in this building that would get a revelation from heaven that they need Jesus Christ's blood applied to them supernaturally by water baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with His Spirit. Listen, I don't care about your religion. I don't care. People come to this church, they love this atmosphere. They love the presence of God. They love everything about this. Our pastor is a premier teacher. We have Brother Russell. We have Brother Seidel. We have all these great men of God. Listen to me, friends. You need to be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lost. At age 38, I was spiritually bankrupt, Brother Hawk. I had lost everything that normal people have during their life. I'd lost my home. I'd lost my wife. I'd lost my health. I'd lost my business. And finally, my health went. Listen to me, friends, when I tell you this. When you get to the point where you don't care what people say, you don't care what people think, you don't care about anything, but you need God. You need God. I didn't know anything about the blood, but I know I needed God. That's all it took, is someone who just break and understand. You can have the life that you really, really, really want in your heart if you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to change your DNA. Hallelujah. He wants to put the DNA in you. He wants that God nature to overcome the DNA. Hallelujah. And you can't overcome the DNA without the GNA. But if you put those two together, then you have salvation. Hallelujah. And salvation is not Acts 2:38. Salvation is when we raise up our hands and we go from darkness to light. We go from corruptible to incorruptible. When we are released from the bondage of this earth, that is salvation, my friend. We have a lot of people come through here baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, we don't have a lot of them stained because the God of this world tries to suck them back into the DNA. He wants the devil's nature to be so superseded in their spirit, Brother Hawk. Brother Hawk is a drug and alcohol counselor, and he can tell you there's a lot of folks that really, really, really want to give their heart to God, but they do not understand. It has nothing to do with your human willpower. Listen, at 38, I know what it means to be addicted. At 38, I know what it means to have no hope. I know what it means to have lost everything that you work for all of your life. And I know what it means to have the power of God come down upon you as you begin to see the futility of trying to live this life separate and apart from God. The futility to somehow think that you can be good enough or I don't need this. Someday, the Bible says, every knee is going to bow. Someday, every tongue is going to confess. You can do it now or you can do it later. You can have the best life God has planned for you right now, or you can struggle against pulling up yourself with your own bootstrap. How silly it is for us to think that we can make it without Jesus Christ. How silly it is for us to be deceived that the God of this world somehow has gotten our hearts and our minds. And one trip to a Pentecostal altar, one trip could change your destiny, could change where you're going to spend eternity, will transform your life, can put your marriage back together. But most of all, it's the blood that takes away the bondage of sin. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to give you that rest. He wants to give you that peace. He wants to give you that joy. He wants everything that's going to be good for you. And yet in our inner DNA, our devil nature says, I don't know about that stuff. I don't know if I want to totally give myself into this Pentecostalism. Take the label off to the Pentecostal part. And let's just get down to the Word of God. Let's just talk about what the Lord said. Ye must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. How many does that include? Every one of you. Peter preached the very first apostolic message, the very first message that the world was to hear on how to make heaven their home. Every one of you for what? The remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, I didn't go through a 12-step program when God delivered me from alcoholism. I didn't go through Narcotics Anonymous. God touched me by the blood, and God bound that stuff and cast it away. Hallelujah. When I'm laying in the hospital, Brother Hawk, and I'm dying, they say, you've been here 17 days, and things are not looking so good for you, and I don't even know there's a God. That's not a good idea. That's not a good place to be. You talk about being between a rock and a hard place, there I was. I thank God for the hard place. I thank God that we have a rock. I thank God that He loved me enough to put me between the rock and the hard place. Some of you are here today and you are in that position and you're struggling and you're trying to get out. Listen, just submit to the rock. Fall on the rock and be broken. Allow the Spirit of God to renew your life. He wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to give you things that you didn't even know existed before. I didn't even know what love was until the God of love came inside of me. I was selfish. I was cruel. I was unkind. And then this blood touched me and something inside happens. It restores that God nature that he had in his son Adam. And it's not like it's going to be a total cakewalk that you don't have to fight. But listen, now you've got some tools to fight with. Now you have the Word of God on your side that you've obeyed. In every battle and every struggle that you might come up against from that point on, you definitely will have Jesus Christ on your side. Hallelujah. I've been blessed financially beyond my wildest dreams, Brother Hawk. I went from zero income to a lot of income, and I had my own business, and I thank God for that. But I left that business, and it was the biggest thing ever happened to me. I had 60 people working for me. How did that happen? I have no idea. You think I planned that? I'm not smart enough to plan that. But God had a plan. He had an idea of what I could be separate and apart from my sin. If you separate yourself from your sin, this is how God sees you. See, he sees you totally free from the dominion of bad attitudes and bad spirits. He sees you with his blood pulsating through your veins, giving you power. Didn't Jesus say, "He shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you"? Hey, if you don't want the apostolic power, if eternal life is not your goal, just live this thing half-heartedly. Just allow yourself to come to church and leave and praise the Lord, everybody, and don't become involved and just kind of float through this thing. And I'll guarantee you, my friend, it won't be long that your old DNA, your old devil nature is going to pop up. And pretty soon you won't need excuses not to come to church. Pretty soon you're going to be bound and entangled again in the world. Oh, hallelujah. But you can go down in the waters of baptism this very day and have every sin that you've ever committed washed away. You know why some men don't come to this point, Brother Hawk? The Bible says that they love darkness more than light. When I talk to someone and they say, "You know, I can see water baptism in the Bible," I say, "Well, let's do it right now." I said, "This is the only way you're going to get the blood applied." "Well, I need to wait." "Huh?" See, you don't see it then. If you don't get up out of your chair today, your pew today, and take a rush for this altar, it's not because God's not here to deliver you. It's not. See, you just don't have the revelation yet. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse your soul. Nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit in your body can make things right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you need to understand something about sin. It's eternal. It's a spiritual thing. The Bible says that when we sin and we ask God's forgiveness, he takes that sin and casts it as far as the east is from the west. It doesn't say he destroyed it. It doesn't say that it's no longer there. It's put in the sea of forgetfulness, wherever that is. It's put in the pit, and it'll all be put in the final days when everything that's unholy and ungodly is going to be put there. Okay? God forbid that anyone here today would wake up someday in eternity lost. Think about it. That you somehow had missed all these opportunities and somehow you just never got to the point where you felt comfortable. See, it's not about being comfortable. It's about being obedient. See, when God gives us a commandment, "If you love me," he said, you will keep my commandments. "But that's not my tradition." I said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." "But you understand, I'm a so-and-so. I've been this way all my life," and my grandmother and grandpa. I said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." If Jesus said you must be born again, then you must be born again. If he said you must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, then you must be baptized for remission of sins. You might say, "Well, what if I don't be baptized?" Then you have sin on your life. That's what separates God and man, is sin. The veil in the temple, the Bible says, when Jesus Christ was crucified, that veil was rent from the top to the bottom. that gave us access to the throne room of God, that we could boldly enter into that throne room and request that which He's already purchased for us. Yet so few people want this. I urge you today that you would take a strong, strong look at this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, in a paternity suit, I've been told that DNA can be used to determine who the father was. I don't know if you've ever read that or not. You know, it's amazing. The Bible says in John 8:38, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, He said, "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." Anything in your life that is contradictory to you know what's to be the word of God, you are doing the works of your father, the devil. You have then determined that your DNA has overtaken your GNA. I'm talking to people within the body of Christ. I'm also talking to people that have never been baptized and are filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we can gravitate back to our DNA if we want to. If we're not diligent, if we're not respectful of God's commandments, we can do what's called backsliding. Backsliding is if there's ever a point in your life where you're more spiritual than you are today, that you are praying more, seeking God more, then you have went backwards and you did not even know it. It's like jumping into a river that has a strong current. And people swim out into that current, and they get away from shore. They say, "Well, I better get back because I have to get back to the shore." And each time they go out and get into, take a ladder and jump over the wall into Egypt, which I could never understand. Let's sneak over to Egypt tonight and get a little of the garlic and onions. I mean, let's go back and get a little sin, and then we'll come back and nobody will know we're there anyway, so we'll just go ahead and... But every time you do something that you know contradicts the Word of God, the Bible says your heart becomes hardened a little bit and a little bit more. See, it's the devil trying to stop this message. Praise God. So your DNA plus God's nature equals salvation. If you'd stand with me this morning, I want to just ask you a question. If you were to use the formula that Jesus used when He was talking to the spiritual rulers of the day, if people who know you the best, if somehow you could ask them this question, who would people say your father is if they saw you in the secret of your secret heart? Would they say, "Well, you're of your father Jesus Christ"? Or would Jesus have to say, "You're doing the works of your father the devil"? But see, if you're here this morning, I want to give you an invitation to come and get this brand new nature. You may not feel that you can do it, and you can't. But what you can do is accept the gracious offer of eternal life given to us by our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one of the things that really troubled me is thinking about if for some reason I would backslide and lose out on this, to have come this close and spent this much time in the presence of God, and then and have an eternity to think about all the opportunities and all the messages and all the times that God has sent all these people to my side, and yet somehow it never moved me. Hallelujah. I would like to make an invitation here this morning. I would like to, for those of you that would either want this first time opportunity, please come. Don't hesitate. Don't let your pride get in the way. If life was so good and so wonderful and so beautiful, you probably would not even think about having a Savior. who needs them. The Bible says not many mighty are called, not many wealthy. Jesus said those who are whole need not a physician. But you know what? We all need the great physician. We all need the blood of the Lamb applied to our life. We'd like you to come right now. Would you come? That's it. Come on. People are coming.